The things that happen to us, all of the bad stuff, all of our battle scars, if you're willing to share with other people your experience and the story of your life, like whatever it is, like anything, it doesn't have to be a big story. And if you can share it with those people, you're going to give them hope just by sharing your experience. Instead of questioning, why is this happening to me? Now you can just connect with those humans that's had the same things happen to them. Like me too, you know? This is episode number 30 with Confidence Coach and Your Highness, the Queen of Confidence, all the way from Melbourne, Australia, Erica Kramer. Hey mamas, welcome to the Being Mother Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. I'm a mama of two boys, founder of a tribe called Mother Hustler Nation, co-founder of the Game Changers Global Network, an insurance professional turned lifestyle entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and author. Each and every week, I'm bringing you stories and thoughts from mom entrepreneurs who will inspire you to take massive imperfect action, unapologetically chase your dreams, and eradicate your excuses so you can quit treating your business like a hobby and turn your side hustle into full-time income. I know being Mother Hustler is not easy, but sisters, we are making it happen even in this beautiful mess. Thank you so much for being present with me today. Now let's go mother the world. Mother Hustlers, what's up? It's your sister and fellow Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. Ladies, one of the most common questions I receive from all of you is about podcasting. What did you do? How did you do it? How do you record an episode? Where do I get background music and transition music? When do you begin to monetize it? Well, today is your lucky day. I'm revealing my top secret. Are you ready? The answer to every single one of your questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for launching, recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. The best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously user-friendly. I use the Anchor app on my iPhone to record solo episodes when I'm on the go in my car in between kids' sporting events and business appointments. So be sure to download the handy dandy Anchor app. Or you may go to anchor.fm to get an even larger menu of features or customize your podcast. I use anchor.fm to produce my episodes with guests. Now, eradicate those excuses, take massive imperfect action, and launch your podcast. Hola, hola, this is Erica from America. Hey guys, that's exactly how Erica opens her podcast called The Confidence Chronicles. Erica Yvette Kramer, formerly known as Sepulveda, from America, is a wifey to a sexy-ass Sri Lankan, mommy of two cheeky boys, soul sisters to many of us, and a confidence coach with a thick-ass history. Yes, she swears a lot, and she doesn't even care what you think. I flipping love that about her. She's an Oprah-loving, spicy food-eating, and has a bold stand for confidence. She's a Puerto Rican living in Melbourne, Australia, and she said she's pretty sure she's the only Puerto Rican living in Australia. She moved to Australia for a series of romantic relationships that didn't work out. Here are some of Erica's life highlights that helped her shape to be the woman that she is, the wife, the mother, and the coach that she has become. She was raised by a single mother battling bipolar. Her dad left her and her mom when she was 2 years old.
She was the only child, although her dad had 7 other children. She was in and out of foster care from age 2 to 16 years old. She was physically and sexually abused throughout her childhood. Mom and her had a terrible near-death car accident when she was 7. Right after that, she was kidnapped by her estranged father. Finally, she was reunited with her mom at the age of 8. Churned through a bunch of different foster homes, and she attended almost every school in her town. She barely graduated high school. At 17, she joined the Army. Thank you so much, Erica, for your service, and served for 10 years, both active duty and reserve. She moved across the country to California, married her high school sweetheart at 19 years old. She became a bikini and music video model. She said, "Google Erica Yvette. She dares you." She went to school to become a hairdresser. She broke her back in a drunk driving accident at 23. She learned how to walk on her own again. She was widowed by 23 as well, losing her husband to drunk driving. After overcoming a life full of trauma, physical and sexual abuse, near-death experiences, loss, massive confidence lacking, and more hard life shit, she decided it was time to get out of her pain and change her life dramatically. That took her on a deep path to personal growth, lots of healing, and dealing with her stuff to become the woman that she is today. Her past was cray-cray, she said, but she's so grateful that all of those things happened for her, because now she's obsessed with helping women own who they are and stand in their fully expressed, confident selves. My badass mother hustlers, please help me in welcoming one of us mothering the world this week, Erica Kramer. Welcome back, everybody. We have Your Highness, the Queen of Confidence, all the way in Melbourne, Australia, and I love everything about her. It's just, she's super real, raw, real, amazing mom. You know, she shows you what she does behind the scene on camera, it's like what attracted me the most in like looking through your Instagram, and how cool, the coolest part is we didn't even meet on Instagram. We met on YouTube in a comment. So welcome. Yes.
I know. Thank you. Yay. It's so good to meet you and be here and virtually meet y'all. I think that's really cool how we met, because like hustle mamas, you know, like we were on social media being social and chatting away, and then became friends on Instagram. And I love that. Like, that's amazing.
I know. We get so much opportunities to connect with each other now. And I think, you know, with the mom empowering moms and women empowering women and all these power just coming together has become such a great energy, and it's shifting the universe. I don't know if you read a lot of energetic spiritual stuff, but if you look at the Earth's core from the universe, it's actually changing, according to a friend of mine who's studied a lot of those. So I think it's our time, and we want to hear all about you today, and we want to know who you are and how the heck did you get in Australia?
I'm like, Melbourne, Australia, doing my Oprah thing over here. Girl, it was from a dude, you know, as you do, you move for a man. I work as a confidence coach, and I was running from my problems and my life and literally trying to just control all delete that shit and just be like, oh, that didn't happen. I'm out. And I met somebody in Las Vegas I used to be a hairdresser, and I met him at a Paul Mitchell hair conference, and he was cool. He was different looking. He was Australian, and I came to visit him, and I ended up staying. So I literally sold everything in Florida for like $1,000, like everything on my couches, my car, everything. I was like, peace out. And so Yeah, it was full on. I came for this guy, and he ended up being, you know, not a, like, bless you, Paul, but you were the nicest guy for me. And so, but I'm grateful to him because I got to come here and experience it. So within maybe being here 8 months, I realized that the relationship was very not for me, verbally abusive. And I'm Puerto Rican. And I was like, you, I don't know who you think you're talking to. Like, this is not going to work. Like, I'm out. And so I ended up hanging out in Australia because I didn't want to leave. And then whenever I saw a kangaroo or a boomerang, I thought of Paul and how bad that was. So I was like, I'm going to make some better memories while I'm here. And then I got sponsored by this other company. And I just stayed 4 years, met another man who was no good either. And then I met my husband. Wow. And now I have like two kids and I'm not going back home. I am like loving Australia. It's an amazing place. And that's kind of like how I got here.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So it's funny how life takes us, because mm-hmm. we have to go through the wrong things in order to get to the right things.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. All the bad times. I'm like, I love me a bad time. When I have a client who's like, you don't understand, I'm going through a divorce. And I'm like smiling. She's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm just excited for you, girl. Like, I'm like, you're about to change your world. Like, if this has come up, it's for something, you know, like, and it is really hard. But I think in the moment, we had a miscarriage like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and I've done a lot of work on myself and my crazy ass life. And now I can, when something comes to me, I'm like, I was in the hospital and my husband was like, are you okay? I'm like, I can connect to women who've had a miscarriage now. And he was like, wow. And I was like, yeah, like that's what came. Like, I was upset. I was sad, you know, but I got, wow, now you can connect. Like, I think the things that happen to us, all of the bad stuff, all of our battle scars, if you are willing to share with other people your experience and your story, like you do, your life, you know, anything, it doesn't have to be a big story, mm-hmm. but if you can share with those people, there are people out there that have the same thing as you, have experienced it or will, and you're going to give them hope from sharing your experience. And I'm like, why look at it like, oh, this bad thing happened to me, instead of, man, now I can connect to women who have miscarried. And that's huge for me, because that's a whole nother community that I can speak to and go, I feel you. Like, I hear you. I'm with you. Me too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true. And I spoke at an event here in Portland, and I opened it up with asking who is going through a really bad time right now in the audience. And I preface it in a way that, you know, you're going to look back into this day and you're going to be like, that's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And that the worst thing that's ever happened to us sometimes, and not all the time, right? Sometimes it's truly an awakening to become that badass version of you.
Yeah.
That's why you're so excited. I love it when you say, I love me some bad times.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so happy for you, girl. And they're like, my life is ruined. You don't understand. And I'm like, here's some tissues. Let's get into it. Like, I'm like, you know, I mean, I feel you, but I'm like, right. I'm so excited, because you're right. 100%. Like, we look back and time heals and, you know, all that stuff. And I think because I've known, I had a crazy bunch of shit happen back when I lived in America. And I was just like, man, there's no way that like someone like Oprah can go through what she went through, her story. If you don't know it, listener, you need to Google her story. Story is insane. And to become Oprah, like, she shouldn't have been Oprah, technically, according to her life. Oh, Tony Robbins' story, like, these people that have the worst mm-hmm. stories. So I'm like, fuck, what's our excuse? Come on. Like, yep. Don't tell me your dad beat you or your mom was this. Get, like, fuck, everybody has a story. And, yep. or you got an excuse or a reason why you're not doing it. So I'm like, man, let's get empowered by this stuff, this bad stuff, you know?
Yeah. I love the post that you did about, fake it till you make it, but you put a twist to it. Let's just make it, right? Make it happen. No,
act as if already, like, instead of, yeah, I think fake it till you make it is hard, because there's lack in that sentence. Like, just fake it till you make it, like, as if you haven't made it and you're shit right now and you just have to be fake. And there's so much, the words have energy, you know, right? It's like, mm-hmm. what words are you using? How are you explaining where you're at right now? And like, it's going to keep you in a place, you know? And so I don't know. I get this crazy intuition in the shower and I'm like, oh, that's going to be a good quote. And my husband's like, are you talking to yourself? I'm like, yes, I am. Like, I need like a Sharpie that you can write on the shower and be like, ah, because don't you feel like, because you don't have kids in the shower? Sometimes I do. But when I'm alone, I'm like, all this stuff comes from like the universe, and I'm like, I know, ah, I want to write it down.
All the downloads. Yeah. So my episode number two, I had Dr. Carol Parker Walsh, and she talks about a lot of like the downloads and the greatest ideas come when we're taking a shower. And there's actually a scientific explanation to it, because the water like landing onto your skin, just like the creator in you just like goes dancing or comes out for some reason.
And
she said
there is an
invention actually now, and I'm sure we can Google it, that there's actually a thing that you can write down in the shower.
Do you think of these crazy ideas and go, someone better make this up, like, because we're too busy, but someone needs to make this up, because like it would be the bomb. And I think too, it's like a meditation. Like, I'm in a meditative state when I'm in the shower, because meditation isn't always like sitting on a fucking mountaintop going, oh, you know, it's sometimes when you're driving and you're at peace, you know, with yourself. Yep. So I think, well, shower meditation.
So you talk about meditation, and I do a lot of meditation, and you know, meditation doesn't have, I mean, I've done an hour meditation, I've done 30, and for the most part, it's just like a little moments during my day, and it doesn't have to be that big, you know, you don't got to make a big time for it. So how often do you meditate, and there's a specific time in the day that you meditate?
So I'm gonna keep it real, because that's all I can do, and not enough. I will tell you that I don't meditate enough. Yeah, I'm like, I just don't do it enough. And I tell my clients too, because it's part of the process that I get them to do. But I'm married to a serial meditator, and he does meditation workshops at he owns a gym. And so the gym that we have is very holistic. We work on like the four bodies, you know, so it's not just your physical, I want to lose 5 pounds. It's like, what are you thinking? How do you feel? Your emotional, spiritual body. So he does like a community free meditation class once a week. And so I get to that when I can. And then throughout the week, I just do like 5 minute shit in my car, on the stairs, in the, you know, like as much as I love Tony Robbins' priming meditation. So I do that when I really need, like, it's 14 minutes. And, you know, as a mother, 14 minutes, it's 14 minutes. So I don't say I don't
it's like
time.
An hour for us.
Yes. I'm like, 14 minutes, I could do so much in that. Meal prep and, you know, tell a story or two. So we, you know, my husband meditates a lot on the weekends when he's around, or when he's around, I'm like, I need 10 and I'll go upstairs, and he'll take 10 and go upstairs. At night, we are like, as a couple, we literally watch YouTube, you know, consciousness videos and meditation videos at night. Like, we don't watch TV. Like, we just watch, like, we love this shit. You know, this is like our life. So we love it. And so I think what we give our attention to, anything, the fucking Bachelor, you know, the Cosmopolitan magazine shit, Kim Kardashian's booty, Donald Trump, whatever.
On MTV.
Yes, man. Oh my God. I didn't even know about that. Australia's taken all the shows from America and like trying to bring them here. Like, why? Like, are you really trying to dumb us down? So we're literally like already unconscious 96% of the time. We're living in a program. And then on top of that, you're going to give your attention to shitty ass TV that makes you feel like crap. So I think we're highly stressed. We're highly in anxiety. We're highly in depression, because we're tired and stressed out. And so meditation sometimes for me, and my husband tells me, like, I know you can't do it all the time, but we can do 5 minutes, or you can do 10 breaths. So I try to make it a part of my like daily. And when I'm breastfeeding, I'll just be like, and I try to meditate when I'm breastfeeding. And it sounds crazy, but it's just trying to like stop the monkey mind and, you know, do it, which I love yoga nidra as well. So my clients are like, I can't do it, I'm too busy. I'm like, let's find you a way. Like, let's find you a meditation you can do, you know?
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's awesome. I love how you just boob it up with your baby. Boob it up, y'all. You're like, on your, boob oh my up, gosh, y'all. I love that. Such a mother hustler.
What do you do, man? Sometimes I do this thing called Q&A Tuesday, and it's like weekly live on Instagram and Facebook. And sometimes I have my kid and he doesn't want to play nice on Q&A Tuesday. And I did one where like I was breastfeeding with him, and my boobs are huge, like bigger than my head, right? And so I can like boob feed and talk. So he's feeding and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And one lady said to me, how are you? Where's he holding on to? I'm like, oh girl, my boobs are huge. I got my leg up. He's fine. He's drinking away. And I'm like, so, you know, Oh, what are the shit we do?
That
it's crazy.
It's so raw. It's super raw, and yeah. I love it. And I think there's, you know, Carrie Underwood, I follow her on Instagram, and she posted this picture of her soccer mom time, and she's all dolled up and all these stuff. And I'm like, I was trying to be positive, and I was trying to be very, because I love her. I mean, I love the woman. Yeah. She is an amazing mother. But I couldn't help myself, and I commented on there, and I said, you know, I love you to death, but I don't think you understand the real world of how we really look like in the real world, soccer moms.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to be real here, and I don't think your message is a message for everybody. Or something like that. It was very nice message, but I was very, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the power that we have is that we can be the change, you know. And I did a post ages ago where another shower intuition, and I was like, you know, because women message me and go, oh, your cube is so real, we need more women like you. And then I always write back, you do it then. If you want more women, you be the woman. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do we wish for other people to do this thing to inspire us? Like, we gotta be like, are you posting perfect photos of yourself with fucking filters and waiting and doing 75 selfies and not posting shit because, you know, you don't look right today, or you're not doing a Facebook video for your business because, you know, you're gonna use you don't have a filter, or you got a pimple, or it's morning. Oh, fuck, what, all these excuses. And I'm like, fuck it, post a fucked up ugly ass photo of yourself looking like a hot ass, you know, with like eye boogers and your nails. Yeah, like all the real shit. Like, and those are the photos that go viral now, and those are the photos that get the most comments and likes. We know this, yet we still go, I'm not gonna post that photo. It's like, man, get over yourself. Like, get over yourself, because we're not impacting how we want to because of how we think we look and we perceive ourselves, and it's ridiculous, you know?
Wow. And how long have you been in Australia? I think you said that.
9 years.
Wow.
In Feb. I know. And I said to you that there's no Puerto Ricans. So there's Latinos. There's heaps of Latinos.
Okay.
No Puerto Ricans. Like, Puerto Rico, like, here I go, Australians are like, where's Puerto Rico? Like, I'm some kind of
alien, another planet.
I know. And I'm like, really? You think Puerto Ricans are cool? Like, we're like everywhere in America, like everywhere. Like, there's no cool shit about being Puerto Rican. But here, that I've met one. So I've been here 9 years. I've met one. There's South Americans. There's Mexicans. There's everything. But there's no, like, zero Caribbean, Jamaican, Cuban, Puerto Rican. Where are we? I don't know. So I think it's hilarious because it's a rarity here. And I think women like you and me, American women with our, like, sass, are really well received here, because we're really raw. We're really, you know, funny and open. And we got a bit of, like, I don't want to say ghetto, but even, like, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. Even, do you know what I'm saying? Like, even rich white women in America still have a piece of, like, girl, because we live with Spanish, Black, Asian, you know, American market women. Like, we've been through, it's not like we're just accustomed to one thing, where in Australia it's a little bit different. So the fact that we stand out is really good, because I can get away with saying some crazy shit to people and they'll be like, oh, all right, she's American. Like, it's cool, you know? So it's crazy. It's a great place.
Your Puerto Rican accent still comes through. I could still hear the rhythm of it.
Right.
But then I watched your TV interview about, oh gosh, you were so beautiful in that interview. You were just owning that interview on local TV. You had a Australian accent. I could hear some Australian accent.
No word. Yes. I think some words come out, which when you live certain places, you know, if you spend time in New York, you're going to be like, you want a coffee? You know, you just like pick it up after a while. So 9 years, I think there are some words that I say that, like, when I say, yeah, like we say, yeah, but in Australia they go, yeah. Like, and I've said, like, they sing, yeah. They're like, yeah, instead of like, yeah. And so I say that and I'm like, oh my God. And mum and Melbourne and like little words, I think after a while. So I hope I still sound American. People in Australia don't think I'm Australian. So I think I'm
still there. What do you love about Australia that is not in America?
I love that it really feels like the new land of opportunity. It's so big as a continent, as a country, but so small. I think of it like when I think about Miami, like Miami's huge, but really if you can make it in Miami, like it's not a big place, your name can be known. It's like, oh, that's, you know, so-and-so from Miami. Like Australia's big, but it's not that big. So you can really, there's a lot of opportunity for your business to grow, for your idea, for your service, for your personal brand, if you are willing to put yourself out there and connect like we did and, you know, have good content. Like it's not overloaded. Like good luck in America. Idea you have, there's 50 people that have done it better. You know, there's competition like crazy, and I don't really believe in competition, but there's a lot of people doing the same saturation. Where here, it's not really like that. And yeah, I feel like when you have something different, you have an opportunity. And if you come from a lot of people here don't have a hard background. Like they have a tough shit here, but not like the shit in America, like nothing like that. So it's kind of nice to have a different, and it's really safe. Really safe, like amazing. There are no guns in this country, and it's awesome. really, like their motto is like no worries. And I used to laugh because I'm like, it's actually true. And Australia people are just like, they're like Hakuna Matata, you know, like no worries, like no stress. Like people are just like, yeah, leave your car open, it's all good. Like, and no one really will break into your car. Like it's really, it's the news is pretty amazing here. When you watch the news, you're like, okay, that's the news. Wow. Okay, it's good. Yeah,
that's so beautiful. Cool. So how how did you realize that you wanted to be a confidence coach? Did you like take a training, or did you just say, you know what, with my life experience, I think I'm gonna do this. I think I can really.
Yeah. I think I started with styling. So I was in a business mentorship group. So coming to Australia with all my stuff. I had a lot of stuff, and if I think you might have seen it, but I post about it now. I never shared my story, but just like I grew up in foster care. I grew up with a bipolar mom, single mother, you know, lots of sexual abuse, lots of physical abuse, foster homes. And then I got kidnapped when I was 7 from my dad. And like we had a near-death experience, car accident. It was crazy, right? And like more sexual abuse, and then like lots of fighting in school because my mom was constantly put in mental hospitals. And then I was in a foster care, you know, so it was like really my childhood as a kid. I didn't really have that, like, you know, it's not what you're supposed to have, but I had what I was supposed to have, but it was just tough. And I think I had a lot of anger and trying to work it out. So I sucked at school, and then ended up, you know, at 17 joining the army, and I was in the U.S. Army for 10 years and moved away to California, married my high school sweetheart. He went to Iraq, like all this crazy shit happened. And then when I was 23, I broke my back in Florida in a drinking and driving accident. So I had to like learn how to walk again, got like metal plates all over my body, and it was just crazy. And then the next year, my husband passed away in a car accident. So we were married for 5 years. He's my high school sweetheart, and he passed away. Like I never had dealt with death. Nobody I knew died, and he died. And I was just like, fuck. And I think that was like my big, like so much trauma, so much stuff. And then dealing with that. And I just was like, nah, I can't, like, I can't handle it. And I was scared I was going to get bipolar disorder because my mom, this is the power of your subconscious mind. My mom told me when I was a little girl that she got bipolar because her dad died and she cried a lot. So I associated with crying a lot when someone dies with equaling a mental disorder. So when Gio died, I cried, but I didn't want to deal with it. So I just deleted it and was like, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm drinking. I'm like, no, I'm okay. And literally moved to fucking Australia to try to like delete my life. I never dealt with my shit until I came here, met my husband, who was my personal trainer and friend. And he introduced me to his friend who was a coach. She was a life coach and a clairvoyant. And I was kind of like, I didn't grow up in church, but I had found like a Hillsong church in Sydney when I lived in Sydney. So I was like getting into like Hillsong, which is fine. It doesn't matter what you believe in. But at the moment I was just experiencing God and all that stuff. So I was fully like Jesus from the Bible, and my husband's like the universe. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? So it was a full on, like I was in my clairvoyant session, like praying like, oh my God, this witch bitch, I hope she doesn't do some voodoo shit to me. I'm about, you know, like crazy. And within a year of working with her and doing deep work, like I'm talking pulling out my old shit and dealing with it, it was really hard and very emotional. I now believe in everything. I'm not like a God, cheat, Jesus, Catholic, whatever. I believe in universal energy, all that. So I'm all gods and everything. And then within a year we worked, like I spent $50,000. I joined programs. I did seminars. I read hundreds of books. Me and my husband both, we've spent like $100,000 on self-development and life coaching. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I was like, this is the shit. Like, this is amazing. And then I started styling. I started doing styling workshops and helping women like dress for their shape and like love themselves. And I realized in that work that I really loved helping people feel better. Because remember, I was a hairdresser in America. But what happened was I realized that no matter what we had on, no matter how much makeup or what Gucci, whatever you were wearing, if you had thoughts that you weren't good enough, that was the shit. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab the styling and just go inner work, inner wardrobe, you know, cleanse the inner wardrobe, the thoughts that don't serve you, throw them away. Yeah. So I launched that. And I never went to a coaching school. I was like, I need to. My husband's like, honey. And this is the thing for y'all. If you're out there and you have a business and you are like, who am I to do this? Here's my little tip that my coach gave me and my husband reminded me and said, you will never attract anybody in your business that you cannot serve. Never. You on a level of energy space, like I'm not going to attract an Oprah Winfrey to come coach like with me if I'm not at that level. You attract the level you're at. So trust that you can help the people that come to you. So I was like, all right, you're right. So everybody who comes to me, I know I can help them. And if I think I can't, I'm just expanding my next level. And obviously I'm growing. I do seminars and I spend a lot of money on myself because I think that's the best investment. But yeah, that's kind of how it started. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do this. And we launched it this year. And like my business has like quadrupled, which is great.
That is amazing because it's so right. You know, I have seen this woman's comment on one of the Facebook comments and she said something about she thought she was strong until she lifted a barbell. And I said, you know, and her story was phenomenal. And her story literally is like she's a badass in life, right? Yeah. And so she's mentally strong. But I think she felt good when I said, you know, your physical strength has nothing on your mental strength. And sound like you are so mentally strong. So it's just what you tell your mind, because your mind can kind of trick you all over the place. Sure. I love the inner wardrobe thing that you said. So congratulations on all that success. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been scary as hell. But it's good.
I always say when it's scary, that must be right. And that's the energy that's pulling you. So it's a pull.
Yeah.
You should be doing it. So who is your favorite story? I know you help a lot of women, right? And one of the things that I just heard you say earlier on when I was stalking you on Instagram was that you had received a message from a mom and her little girl listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Yeah. And you just kind of cry. And it's weird when you're aligned, you know, when you're aligned in what you're doing and you know you're changing lives or you're impacting people. When you receive those kinds of messages, you're super happy. But because you're super happy, like it comes out as tears, right?
Totally.
So favorite story, client story that I'm sure all of them are your favorite, but which story stands out? A couple of stories.
Okay. I think, oh God, there's so many as you're right. I think one of the biggest ones was my first client. Cause I did, like Marie Forleo says, I did my first coaching client for free. So I said, I found someone who I knew was in strife and I knew enough about her. And she literally, her whole world, every part of it, family, work, career, love, crumbled shit. It was like rock bottom. And I'm like, hey, do you want to coach with me for free? I'm going to experiment how we do this program. And it's 3 months and, you know, no pay. I just wanted to see if I could get results with the woman. And obviously she took action because she was in a lot of pain. And we take action when we're over it and we've hit the threshold. And insane. I mean, she went from like not working to finding her dream job, not knowing what to do with photography because she wanted to do that like as a hobby, a secret hobby. And I love when we have hobbies, especially mothers, because we lose our purpose. Mm-hmm. And the gift and the shit is in your hobbies and the fun shit. So she ended up like winning this award for this art, you know, exhibition that she entered. She never even did art. She never even did photography. And then she found love. And it was amazing because I was like, whoa, is this just like beginner's luck right now? Or she took action. she took lots of action. And then the lesson as well there, as soon as she hit her threshold and was rocking, she was like, found love, and then love fucks us up. If you are looking for love and you are single and you've been single for a long time, you find your dream love, your dream man, your dream woman, whatever you're into, your dream whatever, and then all of a sudden they stop working on their shit. And I didn't realize that, but I have a lot of clients that look for love, and I say to them, don't you stop booking your sessions when you find your dream love, because then it shit hits the fan. So it was great because she got everything she wanted, and I got to see the kind of client I wanted to work with, but also realize that lesson. And then obviously that lady, my second, that lady, I think, God, the power of you doing whatever it is you want to do. Obviously you're talking to business women, business mamas, you know, moms with a side hustle that want to help somehow empower the world or change the world. Mm-hmm. And I think the power of you getting out of your own head and doing the thing you want to do, because the thing we all are doing is for other people. The work you do is for others. You're, mm-hmm. you're here to help others. I'm here to help others. And if you were to say, oh, I'm too embarrassed to do my podcast, I'm too embarrassed to speak. I saw you did a speaking event, right? And it was about being inspirational and not being like, as leadership. If you were too scared to public speak and you didn't do that, the people in that room wouldn't have been impacted by your message. How many lives do you think changed? You might not even ever know the lives that you changed. So when you are, I did an episode called, Are You Self-Obsessed? When you obsess about, I'm not good enough, I'm shit, I'm this, I'm not that, what are they going to think of me? It's like, fuck, get out of yourself and step into someone else. Serve. You know what I mean? So I think my podcast, which I do in this car when my kid's sleeping in the back or when he's not with me, my podcast, I did it because I wanted to get the content out there. It's not perfect. It's not amazing. It's just good content. And I did it, and it actually got, I got so many messages on Facebook about it. And one of them were this woman who, I met her at a speaking event I did for mothers. It was a wine, mother's wine night. And I spoke at this event, and I didn't know if anybody took anything away. She started listening to my podcast, and she listens to it with her kid in the car who's six. And I swear my podcast a lot, if you can't already tell. And I'm just talking real shit in the podcast. And she's like, I always ask my six-year-old about what's her take on the podcast and what she thinks about it. And the six-year-old like was in her bedroom going, hola, hola, it's Erica from America. I'm a confidence coach, and whatever. And the mom sent me this message, and I was in a Westfield in like a food court on school vacation. So there were kids everywhere. And I was just crying. I was like salty liquid from the eyeballs, like, oh my God. And that was my favorite, because I just couldn't, I know the work has impacted people, and I could die now because I'm done. That's what I want. But like the fact that a little kid was listening and like, wow, like take, cause I got kids. I was like, what? That's amazing. Cause I let my kids listen to stuff. Like my son knows who Tony Robbins is. He's three. He's like, oh, that's Tony. Oh, that's Gary Vee, the man that says bad words. I'm like, yeah, that's Gary Vee. Like he knows all these people. So yeah, that was my favorite.
Well, you know, yeah. And I think it's such a different time, you know, and I think we have so much tools as a parent, and like my kids, you know, Tony Robbins, Lewis House, all those guys parent my kids. Yeah. I mean, I don't allow them to do that, but it's like a little bit of them helping leaves. They're yeah. helping me, because sometimes, you know, mom doesn't always, not always believable, right? And I feel like if I can expose them to those information, it's not me saying those things. It's the host yeah. of the podcast saying the things that I want to say to them, but it's more impactful. Like a lot of people listen to me, but I know my kids are going to just like, you know, you're our mom. Yeah. You're always going to say those yeah. things. But with totally. The third party, it's, we have so much more tools to be able to parent our kids the proper way. And my kids just yeah. like if I had these tools that I have access to now, I think, I mean, yeah. I think our learning curve would have been a lot better, but at the same time, I'm thankful for the adversities that I've gone through like you do, because I think that you learn so much more with those adversities.
Yeah. Look who you are now because of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I love that you say it's not perfect. You do your podcast in your car, because mm-hmm. I don't have a perfect studio. I am sitting on a stool right now on a coffee yeah. table facing the yeah. window while my husband was making faces across the other side, you know? So it's,
Yeah.
You just do it. And what are your advice to women or moms that really want to do what you and I are doing, but it's that mental thing that's stopping them and holding them back?
Yeah.
What advice do you give them?
Women want to have the confidence. Yeah, I think that we want to have the confidence before doing anything. And it's like, when I'm confident, then I'll do that. When I lose the weight, then I'll do that. When I have the money, when I have the microphone, then I'll, it's like that be do have thing, you know, it's an old coaching term. And it's like, you know, when I, you know, if I was like, they'll say, if I had Beyonce's body, then of course I would do what Beyonce did and I'd be Beyonce. It's like, no, honey, what does Beyonce do? She fucking works out. She works hard as fuck. She eats amazing. So she's got the body. So like, whatever it is you want, you need to be that now. Like you need to be, put yourself out there now. And I say like confidence, the definition, it's on my business card, confidence, the ability to take action while you're shitting yourself. That's what confidence is. Feels like shit. It's not like, I'm so confident, look at me. You can remember the first time you got up. I still get up on a stage and I'm like, oh, there's the butterflies. What if I fuck this up? Oh, well, let's go. You know, like it's willing to looking forward to you being scared. You're going to be scared. You're going to have fear. You're going to have excitement. You're going to be all those things. And it's like, just know that's going to come, you know, but you got to take that first small step. I have this thing that I'd love to give the listeners and the viewers. It's called the practice of confidence. And it's like five things. It's no fucking revolutionary shit. I just put it together the way I did. Cause I think not because, you know, people will be like, it's my process, my IP. No, it's not. It's just shit you learned and you put it together. So I learned this and I, for me, put it together this way for my clients. And I believe confidence is like a practice, like meditation, like anything. I don't think anyone's confident. I don't think I'm confident and you're confident or Kim Kardashian's confident or Oprah's confident. I think that people that look confident are merely in a practice and they've done it so much that they've got that shit down pat and they're in any one of the five steps. So what I would say is I'm going to give you the confidence practice. And then what I would love is for you at home or wherever you're listening to this is to think about where are you in that practice? What step from 1 to 5 are you at? Because that's going to make a difference. So step one is it's choice. Make a decision. So what is the thing that you want to do? So let's say your example, right? And talk to the mothers that I want to start a business. I'm scared. What's the business? What's the decision you make? I want to start a business. I want to start a podcast. Let's pretend it's that. Okay, cool. The decision is I want to start a podcast. Write the shit down. Number two, right? Being courageous. Like confidence takes courage. You're going to be scared. Just know that you're supposed to be shitting yourself. Yes, skid marks. Totally. You're on the right track. That's the right track, sister. If you're not scared or you're not like, oh my God, then it's not it, you know? And then number three, right, is action. You can't do anything without taking action. And people get it twisted in this. They're like, oh my God, I got to do this big thing. And they go future. And I have this thing where I tell my clients, don't go future. If you're having an anxious moment or you're feeling, don't go future, just stay here. Like, what do you got to do right now? So number three is about action, small. What's the little thing? I need to open an account with Anchor. Okay, that's an easy way to do a podcast if you don't have the other ways. I need to think of a name. Great, that's a small action. Because if you take that little mini action, instead of the big thing you think you need to do, that little action is going to open up the fog and you'll see more steps and you'll be like, ah, I did this and it gave me 4 more things to do. Great, now I'll do this. You know what it is. And then you open the path and then all of a sudden you can see, and you're like, ah, okay, I can go that way or that way. Cool. Instead of making this whole fucking story in your head about, I got to do all these things. It's like, girl, you haven't even done one fucking thing. Do the one thing. That's it. Right. And then number four is evaluate. So once you do the thing, people say fail. I honestly don't believe that people fail. I don't believe it. I think that every failure or mistake is a lesson, which I'm sure you believe the same thing. So after you took the action, now evaluate. How was it? Was it shit? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it amazing? If it was crappy and you failed, basically you learned that that was crappy. And next time, don't do that, right? You just learn. So evaluate the lesson. What do you need to learn and adjust? And then number five is repeat. Fucking circle, circle, dot, dot. Keep doing the whole same thing again. Choice, you know, action. And it's that. So think wherever you are out there, whoever, if you're thinking about, I don't know what to do, what's the one thing? Just a workshop. And one of the ladies said, I need to put myself out there on social media. She just did it. I'm so happy. Wow. She just said to me, I just did a social media video on Instagram. What is it called? A story. And I'm like, great. So she just went, hi, I'm me. Nice to meet you. And then that's it. At least that's the beginning, you know, just do one small thing.
That's beautiful. I love those five steps. And I love how you said it's not revolutionary. It's just, it's basic, right? Yeah. The most basic information is often overlooked by people because we want the, we think that the information that works so good are sophisticated and complicated, you know?
Yeah.
And I love how you said that just take micro actions and little actions, and you talk about Beyonce. Like, if you want to be Beyonce, she looks like that because she does this. So behind the scene, I think a lot of women in general, we just see the glory.
We just see the glory.
Yeah.
And we forget their steps
that you get
glory.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for everyone. Everybody feels. Yeah, everybody gets, you know, it's not easy for anybody. There's no overnight success about any of it. And literally, I think I've got a lot of clients that are like, hold on, I want to figure it out. You know, one of my clients wants to figure out the whole business. I'm like, honey, just do one thing. You'll get more information. You'll get feedback. But if you try to figure it out in your head, we live, 70% of us are living in stress most of the time. Yeah. So in your head, you have edited the past, you're conditioned, you're going to make up all the bad things that are going to go wrong. You're not going to go like, just do one thing, get the feedback and then adjust it. I've changed my business. I was a stylist. I used to do workshops. Now I do confidence coaching. It'll change again. Now I'm speaking. Like you don't, I would have never seen where I'm at now at the path because I had to walk it and then it changes. So you don't get to know at the end. You got to do the fucking work and it's work. Yep. And it ain't easy, but you can do it.
It's true. And I like myself, you know, it's, in the beginning, the podcast was just something that I would like to give value out to the world. And then I go to a conference and something just clicked. You know, I took an action and I went, and then I'm like, okay, I know where I want to go now, you know, and it's not going to be guaranteed that's it. Because what I find is when I think that I have this download and I'm clear about something, something will show up down the road that will, you know, it's like the setting of the sail. You set your sail, and then when you're setting your sail, it takes you somewhere, but then you realize there's a storm there and you reset it again. You know, it's just, it's flexible, but by taking action, you unravel the information that you needed to take the further action.
Yeah. It's 100%. Because if not, it's just stories in your head about how it may not work. And the worst, we go to the worst case scenario. We go to the worst case, like, oh my God, what if I do that? And then what if the podcast fails and no one listens? And it's like, girl, none of that's happened. You're living in some crazy future that's highly stressful and it's stopping you from doing that little thing. Like, do that thing and then come back. And you'll see that it'll work. Like, it'll be amazing.
I know. I get asked a lot too, and I'm sure you do, like, how do you do all the things that you do? Like, you're parenting, you're taking your kids to school, you're doing this podcast, you're this and doing that. And I feel like, you know, what I'm doing is glorified, but at the same time, I feel it's so simple if they just stop and go, okay, number one, I need to do this. Number two, I need to do this. Because, and sometimes we just say, well, you just do it. But I think if we give a little bit of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like you just did, it would give them a little more pathway to, okay, the secret to what you're doing now is just doing something a little bit at a time, not thinking of future. Don't go into the future. I love that.
They hear, I'm like, where are you going? And because I have people that have anxiety and postnatal depression and all that. And let me tell you, I know this is off topic, but it's so a passionate rant that I have inside me that I'm not going to do right now, but I'm going to do. And I've done, but it's like when you feel like you're having a moment, we have postnatal moments, we have anxiety moments, we have depression moments. You don't have this fucking disease label across your face that you are now postnatal disorder woman. That's not who the fuck we are. Everybody's got moments. Welcome to motherhood. It sucks ass most of the time. It's hard as fuck. I want to kill my kids, right? I'm not gonna, but I want to throw up. I'm like, little shits, right? It's hard work. It's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not perfect and beautiful like the Instagram people tell you. Stop posting those fucking perfect photos of nurseries, bitches. It ain't like that, okay? It's a hot mess everywhere. So it's like, I think we get stuck into this shit and then we label it as it's this. And it's like, it's a moment. In the moment, you feel this, stay here. What do you need to do now? Breathe, drink water. Okay, my list, like you said, do a list. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have as a society right now is that we're in the era of information. Mm. Like, you can Google anything, you can find out anything. There is no reason why you need to be living in ignorance. No reason, unless you want to. Mm-hmm. So, but here's the problem, right? It's not about the information, it's the lack of application. So you have all this information, all these do, all these podcasts, blogs and things, but you ain't doing shit. So it's like, stop listening, stop doing, stop, just do one small thing, see how it goes, more stuff opens up, oh, cool. And then when you start doing, then you start researching what you're doing. But people wanna research everything, do nothing, and then complain about how they have no results. And it's like, there's information overload, so just apply one thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I get asked a lot, things that people can just Google. And it annoys the shit out of me. And I'm not saying that I don't want to help people, but I mean, like you said, information is at the tip of your fingertips. All you got to do is Google and spend time to read things. But I feel like, and not only that too, I think the comparison issue is that, I want to be like her, so I'm just going to go ask her so I can take a shortcut, you know?
Yeah.
And she can just give me all the information, but it's like, hey, this is where I learn. I learn by Googling and watching YouTube. I just built like a sound box so that I can block all the background noise. And I just Googled it and it's so simple to make.
Yeah. But it's because you want to as well. You know, like sometimes I think it's the wanting of actually taking it and doing it. And I call them the winning lottery numbers. I've given people like, here's your $1 million ticket. If you play this, you're going to win a fucking $1 million. All you got to do is play the number. You got to walk there and play it and you're going to win. And people will have 50 tickets and not fucking play them. So it doesn't matter. Like, you could have all the information and do fucking nothing with it. And you're in the same place. So it's like, you don't need all that. I think people think they need all the answers. And it's like, you just need to be able to. And I think what we give time to, because people say we don't have time. Like, I don't have a team, probably neither do you. One woman band, I'm editing, I'm posting, and I don't have a social media app that I use. I probably should, too hard right now, I will. You know, I edit, record, do all that shit, breastfeed, you know, we do all the things we do. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have support from our partners. If we're in a relationship, you must have that discussion. And you need to have the discussion with yourself. What am I willing? We don't go out. We don't have dinners. We don't spend money. We don't have vacations. Right now we are in fucking full throttle hustle mode. And I don't do my nails, not because I don't have the money. Now it's the fucking time. I record my podcast when I'm driving instead of listening to music or calling my mom, which would be fun to call my mom, wouldn't it? No. You know what I'm saying? Like you go, I don't have time, but I'm watching The Bachelor. Oh, I don't have time, but you know, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't go out with my friends. My friends miss me. I love them. If you're watching, I love you. But you know I'm hustle mode and my why. So you got to be willing to not sacrifice, but, you know, time manage and know what's important for you. And the shit, say no when you need to say no. And I don't think we do enough.
I was being real yesterday because I get a lot of like, how do you manage your time? Like, you are so good at it. And I think I want them to see that I don't have all my shit together. So I went to CrossFit in the morning and I didn't shower until the end of the, like until everybody went to bed pretty much. And so I said, you know, showering was because I had to wash my hair, blow dry my hair. Like it takes forever for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And I had more priorities. I had priorities to finish. I had things to finish. And so I chose not to shower during the time that I couldn't. Well, I could but then I would have to sacrifice the thing that was more important than the shower. I wasn't going anywhere. My husband was complaining about me, you know, because I showered the day before and all that good stuff. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's like, I think I said that this is how you made time for the priorities that you have. And I posted something about that yesterday. And, you know, I think a lot of us micro influencers need to come back and come out of the woodwork and kind of erase all the fake stuff that's coming around out there that's creating this illusion that you can be this super duper mom when, you know, we're just trying our best just like anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think it's good. You're right. Like, post your breakdowns, post your hard times and moments. And, you know, we're normal. It's human shit. It's hard. It's not supposed to be easy like it looks. You're supposed to have depression and anxiety moments. You're supposed to. Like, it's normal. You're sleep deprived. You're exhausted. You are the mother energy of the whole house. And when you're not okay, no one's okay. So it's normal. I think that we need to normalize that more and make it less about, you know, I don't know. We pressure ourselves a lot. Yeah. So it's what you share. And thank you for sharing that, because we need more of that. So if you're out there, make sure you share your shit, all the bad stuff, all the good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. So what do you love about being a mom?
Oh, fuck. I feel like I'm a very sensitive, emotional person, but I feel like my heart expanded more than I thought it ever could. Mm-hmm. So I think that the biggest is like, I can get oxytocin and dopamine hits, like drugs, whenever I want to with my kids, you know, or thinking of my kids. So I think that it's a deep love. And for me and my husband is first, and then my kids. That's how we roll. My kids are going to leave. And if you put your kids first, good luck, girl. They're going to go marry people and be on their own, and you're not going to be important. So for me and my husband, I think like it's that love that we got to extend our love for our kids, and just the gratitude that has of being a mother and, you know, being able to, I don't know, like to hold space for a child to be who they want to be. I'm a big fan of the conscious parent and Dr. Schifelli's work. I think she's fucking revolutionary. Yep. He smacks me across the face all the time and teaches me a lot of shit about, that's the area where I don't have it sorted, motherhood and parenting at all. Like, I'm all fucked up. Confidence, I got you, girl. But that's, I'm like, oh my God. So, the biggest teachers, you know, as you know, but beautiful, just the heart expansion. And you really feel, I think when you become a mother, you feel for murderers, you feel for dogs, you feel for birds, you feel for fucking trees, you feel it all, you know? Compassion like no other, I think, is my favorite part about motherhood.
That's awesome. How do you use some of your motherhood skill set into your business?
I feel like I've been able to use my business skill sets in motherhood, to be honest, because it teaches me that everything's a lesson. So instead of me, you know, I'm really conscious that I don't fuck my kids up like I got fucked up, and we do. It still happens. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I try to see the lesson in what's happening and always force it back onto me. So not my toddlers being whatever, or he's making me angry. I'm like, what is it in me that he's trying to, that needs attention? What is it in me that, okay, I'm the one having the problem here. He's being a kid. So I use my work with my kid more, you know, instead of my kids, instead of being my mothering into my work. Cause I've always had a soft, compassionate heart, but I think I work with a lot of moms, like my main client are mothers. And so I'm a very relaxed kind of coach, in the sense of if they got kids in the background, or if they got to cancel because they have to have a sick child or whatever. So I think that helps me, because I have that compassion for the woman, mother or not. But I think I use my coaching for my kids more than vice versa, to be honest.
What a great answer. I love that. Because I use a lot of my business to my relationship as well. I've always, you know, a lot of people look up to us because we're so busy people, but we never lose sight with our relationship as husband and wife. And
awesome.
There is the thing that I tell them, you got to run your marriage like you run your business. You know, a lot of corporations have mission and vision. You got to create a mission and vision for your marriage between you and your husband. Like, what is it that you are working every day for, working hard for, you know, because when times gets tough, frankly, when you run a corporation, when times gets tough, you go back to your mission. Okay. Why, are we doing what we're doing? And what is it that we're looking forward to happening if we keep doing what we're doing, the vision that we are creating for ourselves? Yeah. And that's what we do. Like, we've had hard times back in the days, a lot of hard times. And we always go back to, we hold on to our mission and vision a lot when times are tough. And I really love your answer, because I do that for my marriage. And I think I don't do as much of it for my kids, because I tend to raise my kids in the personal development world, because I have changed my life because of personal development and plugging into those, reading a ton of books, consuming a ton of information. So
yeah.
What is your message to your kids if they were listening? Because my kids Google me all the time.
My message to my kids, I originally said I want them to, the number one thing that if I can teach them is that you're not here for yourself, you're here to help others. Like that was what I wanted to teach them. But I've changed that since Dr. Schifelli, because what I would love for them is just to be who the fuck they are in the moment, not be yourself. Cause I think that's horrible advice. Cause who is the self? The self I was 5 days ago is not this self, right? And the pre-baby self is not myself. So I think be who you are, be who you want to be, go for what you want, like be who you are and let the world see that. And whatever that is, if they want to be Catholic priest, makes me want to cringe, but do that. Transvestite, do that. If you want to be gay, do that. If you want to be fucking whatever you want, like whatever you want to be, I love you, go do it. Like I genuinely want them to be who they are. And as long as they're cool, not as long as they're safe, not as long as they're rich, not as long as they're, you know, whatever, even if they're not safe. I mean, if that's what they're called to be, I feel like children come down through us, but they don't belong to us. For me, that's my belief. My kids don't belong to me. They are of the world. They are here to discover who they are, and their souls that came through me, but they're not mine. That's ego shit. That's not my kid. He's not an expression of me, not a definition of me. My son is, he acts like me because he models my behavior, but he's not me. He's not a mini me. So I think I just want them to be who they are, you know, and whatever that is for them, and they're going to fuck shit up like I did. And if they do anything close to what I did, I'm going to be cringing. So I'm going to just pay attention and let them do what they got to do. But yeah, we're here to love them, but I think they just got to really figure out what they want. And too much, we give them a prescription of who we think they need to be. And that's crazy. We need to stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband and I talk a lot about, you know, if they do the shit we used to do as teenagers, oh my gosh, I would be like so worried.
Like, I'm sorry, karma. Karma's a bitch. I'm gonna be like, okay. I'm okay with that, I think.
We're like, always here. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
We guide them. I think we are given the job to guide them.
Totally.
But they are not ours. They are, hopefully, we shape them. You know, I don't allow the society's influence a lot. I control what I shape them with. But then they shape their own personalities outside of that, because we have no control over who they are going to become. They just have to be, I think for me, I just want them to be a good human and a kind person.
Yeah.
So what's your message to your husband, and what's your husband's name?
Hamish.
Hamish?
Yeah. So, he's like, we are on some shit. Like we're on some twin flame stuff. Similar, it sounds like your husband and you. And I think we just have the same mission, and we're very lucky, because I know not a lot of couples have that. We are equally, he's so yin and I'm so yang, but we are equally ambitious and equal mission. So I think, I'm just here to allow him to be who he is. And that's really hard, because we, you know, unconditionally loving people as a consciousness, as a world, we haven't reached that yet. Even though we think we have, we still love with conditions. You know, I still love myself with conditions, and my husband loves me with conditions and kids, you know? So I think my ultimate goal is that we can, as much as we can, love each other and allow each other to be who we want to be out in the world, and kind of hold space for each other. And it's great doing this work as a couple, because man, everything I read, he reads same thing. So we really, it's like we're being who, like, he's like the other half, but not that I'm half and he's half, but it's like he's another me, but a greater version and similar, you know? So it's great to do the walk with him, you know, to do this. And I think we've danced before, you know, I don't think this is our first rendezvous on in the universe. Mm. I definitely have past life stuff. So it's exciting, you know, to do this now. We're both in big moments of urgency to do the work of raising consciousness now, like this lifetime. Wow. So we're very, yeah, it's
very
exciting.
Equal energy.
Yeah. Equal energy. Equal energy, but then the external, like I'm like, ah! And he's like, hi.
That's
fire and water. Yeah.
What is your message to women in the world?
I think the biggest thing is I want every woman that I can touch and experience to know that it's not about what happened to you, about what you make it mean and what you do next with your life. And that no matter what's happened to you, no matter who you think you are, no matter what you've been through, I think that you can do, be, have whatever the hell you want. You can create whatever you want. It's just your meaning of it, you know, and you can have everything that you want to have. And I think that that's the biggest thing, because so many of lives that we don't want to live for, people that we don't want to live them for, and relationships we don't want. So I would just say that I would hope that you would go for what you want to go for, and that you would just be fully, fully self-expressed, and that you could experience that in this lifetime while you have a breath. Like 2 million people a day die. And if we're alive right now, what the fuck are you waiting for? You know?
Wow. That's awesome. Awesome message. One last question before I let you go. But before I go to the question, I just really love how you show up in this world and want to give you some compliment and commend you for how you show up in this world. And I know you show up for a lot of people, and I love your authenticity. So thank you for that. And I think we need a lot more of you to multiply in this world.
I acknowledge you as well, sister, for doing this. And look at us across worlds.
This is, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
You're so in thank the, you as well. You're in my future, because you're the next
one. Future. Sunny day tomorrow.
Wow.
Look at that.
It's awesome. So before I ask you the last question, what or where can we find you?
So at the Queen of Confidence, make sure you put the, because I don't know what you'll find if you just go Queen of Confidence. And can I just say with that name, it's not like I am the queen. The purpose of it was, she's my alter ego. And I think we're all queens and we're all royal. And I don't mean like in a tiara. I mean like royalty, like you were amazing. You were the top of the top, highness, you know? And I hope to aspire to be the Queen of Confidence as many times a day as I can, you know? So you can go to the Queen of Confidence on Instagram, the Queen of Confidence on Facebook, and then the Confidence Chronicles on YouTube, and the Confident Mama on YouTube, because that's like my behind the scenes of crazy ass motherhood when I have my breakdowns. And then there's a podcast, the Confidence Chronicles podcast, which is on thequeenofconfidence.com.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Last question. What is your definition of a mother hustler? And when you heard that word, what came to your mind?
Oh, man. So I thought, I loved it, because I thought, I do see business in that sense of mother hustler. But if you don't have a business, for me, because I am a business mother, and I think mother hustler is a woman who's out there, a mother who's out there doing the best that she can, and knowing that there's many moving parts, and that, she's committed to the process of the many moving parts, you know, and that you don't need to get it right. That you hustling to me is like, you take a punch. Oh shit, that hurt. Okay, let's get back up. Okay, you want to breastfeed? Okay, you need food? Okay, drop offs? Okay, shit. You know, like a mother hustler to me, you know, is mothering and also willing to let life take all the hits of life, get up, take them again, readjust, move around, and take them again, you know, like boxing, you know. I really love the name, and I think it's, you got to meet another lady here in Australia who you'll love, so I'm gonna send you her details later.
Awesome.
Yeah, I really feel like it's community of, it's all hard, it ain't easy, but we're committed to the work.
Yes thank you so much. So
thank you.
Appreciate you.
And remember to just do you, ladies. Big love.
Love it.
Thank you, beauty.
Thank you.
Amazing. Lots. Come to Australia.
I will.
Bye.
All right, sisters, thank you so much for listening and always supporting the Being Mother Hustler podcast every single episode, every single week. I know most of you take screenshots of these episodes and share it all over your social media outlet. And for some of you that's left us a 5-star review, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so super grateful for you. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And it would mean the world to the entire Mother Hustler Nation community if you wrote us a 5-star review. Because I'm telling you, this is not about me. This is not about you. It's about all of us in the community inspiring each other, learning from each other, and not allowing each other to make any excuses to chase our dreams. I swear I read those reviews and it fuels me to my core, makes me cry for great reasons. So I so look forward to reading those reviews. As always, sisters, don't forget to give, serve, live, and love. Have a mother hustling day.